grow closer to the Lord, because the world stinks. And this world is just a fleeting moment. And actually, kind of goes into what I want to preach tonight. So if you want to stand with me, we'll go to Matthew 13. And I want to preach tonight a parable that I've entitled, The Greatest Treasure of All. But I think sometimes we don't realize how great a treasure that we have when it comes to salvation. So Jesus is dealing with the mysteries of the kingdom of God and different things. And in verse number 44, this is a parable that sets by itself. And he says this, "And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had, and he buyeth that field." Father, we do pray tonight that you would be with the message, the meaning of this particular parable, what it can mean for us tonight, an application maybe, Lord, that we need to make. We need to understand the value of the greatest treasure of all. And Lord, help us tonight that if we are saved, that we would understand what a great treasure we have. And if there's those here without Christ, may they understand there is no greater treasure than salvation in Jesus Christ, because it's eternal. Help me, Lord, to communicate the truth tonight. In Christ's name we ask, amen. You may be seated. I did a little research on the California Gold Rush. It went from 1848 to 1855, and I actually found out why they called them the 49ers, and even have a football team out there, San Francisco. They named after the Gold Rush the 49ers, and it was because in 1849 is when most of the gold was found. But it started a year earlier. The California Gold Rush started a year earlier, and basically in January of 1848, a man named James Marshall at a place called Sutter's Mill in California found gold. And then the word got out that there's gold in them there lands, in them there hills, I should say. And the news of that gold brought, listen to this, over 300,000 people to California from the rest of the United States, Canada, and many other places. And the gold supply that came out of the California Gold Rush, actually, according to several sources that I read, said that it actually in that day revigorated the American economy. It was able to just put a boost in the American economy. I also learned as I was reading this that because of the population increase, that California was able by the year of 1850, during that time period of the gold rush, was able to become a state in the United States. By the time the gold rush ended in California, basically, the state of California went from a very thinly populated Mexican territory to having its first of two senators, and that one senator, John Fremont, was selected to be the first presidential nominee for the Republican Party in 1856. So the state of California was not much, and because of the gold rush, became a lot, and now it's back to not much. But anyhow, that's a different story. Now, why was it? And by the way, it is amazing that the word treasure that we find in our text tonight is a word that actually means something that is very precious and something that is of great value or of much wealth. And Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven being a treasure that people, that when they find it, they're willing to give up everything that they might involve themselves in this treasure. So when you look at the California Gold Rush, you might ask yourself, why'd over 300,000 people go there? It's because they wanted to find treasure in a field so they could be rich. Now, if you go on and read other things, you'll find out a few people got rich, but 300,000 people didn't get rich. And so the things of this world are temporary, and the things of this world are very fleeting. But to be involved in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, the reason it's such a great value and it's so precious and it's so really wealthy is because it follows us all of eternity. 100 years from now, I'm pretty sure there ain't going to be nobody in this room alive. I'm pretty sure about that. Even the youngest kid in here, maybe 3 years old, they might make it to be 103, but I doubt it. And most of us, anywhere past 30, surely we're going to be in eternity. And the treasure that we have in salvation will continue to follow us all of eternity. So in this parable, Jesus Christ wants his disciples to understand that if you are saved, you are rich. Now don't get too excited about this. I thought at least we get 3 amens out of that. If you are saved by the grace of God and you know it, you're rich. You're very rich. When you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and then you embrace Christ, then that person who gets saved should be willing to give everything they have in their person to Jesus Christ. The point of the parable shows that this man's willingness to sacrifice everything he had in order to possess the treasure that he found. Now, when a person is truly converted, there should be an excitement and there should be a willingness to surrender completely to him. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of things going on today that ain't salvation. There's a lot of things that are going on that people are not really saved. But I'm telling you, if you are saved, no matter who you are, it doesn't mean God's going to call you to preach. It doesn't mean God's going to call you to be a missionary. It doesn't mean that. It could mean that. But he does call us, everyone, to be servants of his and to be his disciples and to be willing to completely surrender to him so that if he does call us, we're sensitive enough to be willing to do what he says. Now, so the parable is telling us this. If you have salvation, you're rich. If you don't have salvation, you're very poor. I mean, you're so poor, you don't even know how poor you actually are. And the present world we live in is very short, even as the Bible would say, like a vapor. Here for a moment and gone compared to eternity. When I think about my own salvation and my own life and the age that I am now, I just look back now and go, man, wasn't the hand of God in this? Wasn't the providential hand of God very evident back in this day and that day? And it's hard to see it maybe sometimes, maybe when you're in your 20s or your teens or your 30s because you're too busy working and trying to make your wife happy. Well, 2 people got to make their wife happy. And trying to raise children and trying to do all the things. And so sometimes you don't realize, but we need to stop right now, stop and realize in this parable that our salvation is so valuable. I mean, the transformation that's going to take place for us after we get out of this place, out of this world, I am totally convinced we're going to go, why did I fight so hard to stay here? And you know, like that woman and man that went to heaven and they're looking around and everything was good and everything was glorious and everything was great. And the fellow said to his wife, what makes me mad is if you hadn't have fed us all them bran muffins, we might have been able to be here 10 years ago. There's nothing more valuable, listen to this, than your soul. Because your soul lives on forever. Your soul lives on forever. And nothing compares to salvation when it comes to a treasure. The kingdom of God is of great value. Most men do not, listen, most of the people that you live with, and so it's my responsibility to say, hey, let me tell you something right now. While the people that you work with and the people that you surround yourself many times on the job, they don't think anything is valuable about spiritual matters. Now, sometimes it takes people a little while to learn this. They may go through a period of their life where they think they know more than God or they think they can do their own thing. They've been taught the truth. They've been taught right. And they come to a place where they get right with God, their heart turns toward God, and they realize that the spiritual things of life are much more important than the material things of life. But I will tell you this, most men don't put value on spiritual matters. That's why people can't believe that you're concerned about like getting off work on time so that you can go to church on a Wednesday night in the middle of the week. Well, don't people just go to church on Sunday and then they just do that once a week? Yeah, some people do that. But I'm telling you, people do not value the spirituality that they need on a weekly basis and how much they need the Word of God and how much they need to read it themselves and then come and eat the buffet meal. You know, COVID's killed most buffets, which is a bummer. But we need the buffet. We need the Word of God. Yes, we need the Word of God on a daily basis. Prayer, we need our own time with the Lord. But we also need church because God said that He died for the church and He gave us the church. So don't say that it's not important. It is important. And it's important to be here as much as humanly possible. One way to illustrate how we feel about the kingdom of God was actually illustrated in the month of April on what we think about our involvement in Faith Promise Mission Giving. Because that tells you how much we value souls around the world. If you truly understand how valuable your treasure is, guess what you'll do? You'll invest your life in that treasure. You'll invest your life in your salvation. So it's no wonder that Jesus had said earlier in the book of Matthew, when He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then He starts talking about how other things shall be added unto that. But He makes it very clear that we're to seek first the kingdom of God, which means the kingdom of God should be first in your life and not just an add-on for good measure. Some people really treat Jesus Christ like He's just another God we'll stick on the shelf and I'll dust Him off whenever I need Him. In fact, you know, I really need the Lord. I really need Jesus. If things are not going very good, I need Him. No, we need Him where things are going good or not. We need Him every day, every hour. We need Him. And I'm telling you, when we treasure our salvation and we treasure the grace of God in our life, then we're going to seek the kingdom of God first. Set your affection on things in heaven, not on things on the earth. Why does God say that? And He doesn't say that we shouldn't save. He doesn't say that we should not prepare and all those kind of things. But listen, you know what? Many times we leave it all for somebody else and we have no consideration for what we're going to leave behind for God or what we're going to do for God in this world. Why should the kingdom of God have such an important place in your life? You know why? It is valuable. It is valuable. It blesses men greater than any other kingdom. Now, if we were to think of the United States of America as a kingdom, like we could think of the Babylonian kingdom, and the Babylonian kingdom, if you think about the Babylonian kingdom, how did the Babylonian kingdom fall? It fell because there was problems from within. The Medo-Persian Empire took everything the Babylonians had and took it for themselves. Nebuchadnezzar, now, he was the guy that plundered the whole world and he was the gold, the head of gold that was spoken about in Daniel. But the Medo-Persian Empire, they were able to take over because of the inside of the country had deteriorated to the place where they could just walk right in. Now, are you getting this? We got to make sure that the interior is right when it comes to the value of our salvation. Now, we've just been going through 1 Samuel, and we saw that Saul's problem was a heart problem. Saul's problem was not the Philistines, and Saul's problem was not the Amalekites. Saul's problem was Saul. He didn't value what God said was important. Just in my Bible reading this morning, I read about, again, even though I've been preaching through it, I read through there where he said, I want you to go to destroy the Amalekites and don't leave anything behind. Kill it all. I mean, it seems so harsh. But God said, I'm judging the Amalekites because of the way they treated Israel back when they came in behind Israel and they did harm to Israel and they didn't consider Israel. And God said, now listen, I'll judge, but I'll judge on my time. And so now the judgment has come. But Saul's heart was not right. He was rebellious. He kept back the good part for himself. And then I always like how people like to blame it on God. Well, I did it for God. No, you didn't do it for God because God asked you to do something totally different than what you did. You did it for yourself, really. And then you blame the people. Well, it's the people, Lord, that you gave me. They pressured me. No, the man of God is supposed to do the word of God no matter what else happens. Oh, wait a minute. We're all supposed to do that. Don't let the inner man take you away into worldly things and forget the value of your salvation. So let's go back now to the kingdom of the United States. We live in a good kingdom as kingdoms of this world are concerned. We have great benefits. I would say that most everyone in this room would agree that we have it very good compared to many places in the world. Now, if you don't believe that, try to take a trip somewhere to a third world country. And your mind will be changed on this. But I told my wife, first of all, I never want to get over my salvation. I really don't. And I say these things out loud to her. I don't want to get over my salvation. I want to remember what God brought me from and brought me to and where I'm going and all of that. And it's only by the grace of God. I understand that. There's nothing. It is the most miraculous thing in all the world that I pastor here. That's just a miracle. But I also think about, I sit in my house and go, you know, I can't believe God's given us this house. Because God did it the way that it all was orchestrated. And he's done that for us in the past. And so as compared to homes that I've seen in the world, that I've seen on the news, we have it good. If we had the smallest house in Springfield, Missouri, we would still be able to say, we have it very good. The kingdom that we live in is very good compared to other places. We have food. I had bacon tonight for supper. How good is that? In the air fryer. It was amazing. If you ain't cooked bacon in the air fryer, you ain't lived yet. You say, I don't have an air fryer. Well, you need to find the greatest invention that's ever been invented. I told Robin, I wish we had this 10 years ago. She goes, they didn't have one 10 years ago. And I said, well, I'm glad God invented the air fryer, or whoever it was. I'll give God the glory. We eat good. In fact, some of us eat too good. We have clothes to wear that we don't have to worry about. In general, our standard of living is good in the kingdom that we live in. Clean drinking water. Do you know that we go to the... My dad was appalled when people started drinking bottled water. He couldn't believe that. Why would anybody in their right mind in the United States of America pay for water in a bottle? And he was convinced, now this is my dad, he was convinced that it was tap water. They just poured it in there, shook it up, and then sold it. And my dad, as far as I know, never bought a bottle of water because he was appalled by it. But we can go to the tap and we can drink clean water. Most countries can't do that. Freedoms. I know that we could maybe argue the fact about freedoms that have been tried to be taken away from us in this COVID. And then my heart is almost broken every time I read a missionary letter. I read every letter that comes in. I read it. I pray for those missionaries. And there's missionaries right now. You can read the letters. There's missionaries in countries right now that they're meeting in secret. I mean, it's just like crazy. And so there is maybe an argument here, but historically speaking, we've been able to speak freely, worship freely, free to move about. And I wrote that. I thought, well, you know, Florida is absolutely exploding with people going down there. You know why? Because that governor has said, hey, everything's, you know, hey, we're over COVID. You can come down here. Other states are still holding back, and their economic situation is not as good because they fail to realize that Americans love their freedom. Because we, as a kingdom, if we call this a kingdom, we are blessed. We are blessed. I mean, we're blessed that we're born in this country. But more valuable than every one of those things and every benefit that I mentioned, wherever we live, our food, our freedoms, more valuable than any of those things are the spiritual things of life. Amen. Salvation. Amen. Church. That's right. Those are valuable. Amen. Amen. I just don't think sometimes because of the universal church idea that people lay aside how important the church really is.
That's right.
I really do hope that over the last year that you could understand how important church is and church fellowship and gathering together. And just, I mean, I tell you, I remember when we were in that shutdown period, and I'll never forget the first time we came back and the singing. Just I said, glory to God. Salvation is a treasure.
Yes, sir.
Salvation is eternal. Salvation is forever.
Amen.
Being in God's kingdom has blessings now, but it has much more blessings eternally. I love coming to church.
Amen.
Especially whenever body's right with God. Truth, conviction of the Spirit of God, fellowship with other believers, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, relationships that we have because of salvation are more valuable than anything found in the gold rush in 1849. In fact, I'd say probably if we could interview some of those guys back then, probably didn't turn out the way that they thought it would turn out when they left everything to go try to find a treasure hid in a field. Folks, listen to me. I'm trying to get you to understand tonight. You need to know that your salvation is more valuable than anything you have.
Amen.
The house you live in, the car you drive, whatever it might be. And we need to live our life to what has the greatest value. So in verse number 44, Jesus said, find the treasure. Find the treasure. The kingdom of God is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found. So look, so we got this idea of found. The word found that I just read there is the same word found when Andrew came to Peter in John chapter 1 and said, we have found the Messiah. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is the greatest treasure ever. And Jesus is not a set of beliefs. Jesus is a relationship. It's a relationship with a person. You can find no greater than Jesus Christ. The word found is also where we get the word, the English word, eureka. Now, I also found this in my little study and of looking at the California Gold Rush. And you can Google California Gold Rush and you can find a lot of information in less than 15 minutes. But one of the things that I found is the word eureka was an expression used when they would find gold. When they would shake the pan and the gold would come up. And they would say, I would say mercy or glory or glory or something like that. They go, eureka, which is a word used to express excitement and triumph over the discovery of something valuable or precious. So this word found is where we get the English word eureka. You know what Jesus says? You need to be excited about your salvation. When you wake up every morning, you probably should say, eureka. I don't think we should ever get over our salvation. We will spend all of eternity in heaven with our Savior and loved ones who are already saved. I've already thought about who might be in the welcoming party when I get there. And I begin to think of different people that have gone on before me and the Lord that I knew well. And man, is it going to be awesome. The motto, okay, listen to this. The motto, did I say that right? Motto, in my southern accent, I'd say motto. And that'd sound like M-O-D-O, but it's motto. The motto of the state of California is eureka. And it was based on the gold rush that we spoke about. So that's their motto. Motto. When they found gold, they would yell, eureka. How much should we shout when we discover some truth that changes our lives? How much should we shout when God puts us in a direction that we're headed in the right direction? Let me give you an illustration. I've always done this. I get real excited when I study the Bible and I find something that's always been there, but maybe I didn't see it or discover a word. That's why I love word studies. I like to read words in their original language, you know, and the English words that we get from that. And then you start studying some of the words that are in our English Bible, and they translate it one word here, one word there, but because of the context and all that, which it's all good. The words of God are perfect. But every time I find something, or when I would be here as a church member and the pastor would preach and I would make notes and I would go home and study what was preached sometime, when I would find something, I always called it golden nuggets. Man, there's a gold nugget right there.
Yes, sir.
That message I preached on Sunday morning about the charismatic movement, that should be a golden nugget for some people.
Yes, sir,
because it's valuable. It's precious to know the truth. The man in our text was not looking like the gold diggers in California. He just came upon it. I read several commentators and who said maybe he was plowing the field. And when he saw the treasure, he was willing to go sell everything he had to buy the field. And I don't think there's any deceitfulness. Jesus is not talking about anything deceitful or anything like that. The truth is we are not as much seeking the treasure as the treasure was seeking us. And he just came. I mean, when I got saved by the grace of God in 1984, it was not necessarily because I was looking or seeking. But there are people that are looking and trying to find the truth. The truth came to me. And the Lord was looking for me. And the Lord saved me. And that's why you can look in the Bible and say that Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. And I'm so glad that God came looking for me. When this man found this valuable treasure, he wanted to protect it. We must be good stewards of our spiritual blessings. Listen, if you're a young person in this church, do not discredit the heritage that you're able to have of your parents being saved and raising you up in a church where the Bible is preached. It'll be a great value for the rest of your life if you'll do what God says. Now, nobody can change your heart except God. Nobody can work on your heart except God. That's not my responsibility. But you need to be willing to listen to spiritual things. This man was willing to sell everything for the sake of the value commodity. I want you to think about some men in the Bible, just an idea, like Stephen. Now, Stephen, who got stoned as Paul was standing there holding the coats of those people that stoned him because they were under conviction, somebody in our woke society would say something like this. Now, Stephen, won't you just kind of hold it down? You don't need to be so forceful when it comes to the truth of the Scripture. And there's people that live their life like that. Stephen understood the value of his salvation to the point that he was willing to preach to those Israelites the truth of God's Word. Now, think about this. It cost him his life. How about Paul, who was beheaded for the cause of Christ, but at the same time was able to say to the Ephesian elders, you know how I didn't hold anything back. I told you the truth. How about Moses, who basically forsook, not only did he forsake Egypt, but he really got him a good gig on the backside of the desert and was probably willing to let his days run out back there on that backside of the desert. He had a good father-in-law and he had a wife and things were going good and he learned how to be a shepherd, and then God came in the burning bush and said, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses' life was different for the next 40 years. But you know what? He was willing to do what God said because he understood the value of spiritual things. The apostles to whom Jesus was teaching this parable. The apostles, we know they were apostles, but we can say that we are also disciples today to whom Jesus is teaching. They were willing to sacrifice everything, including their own life, because of the value of the treasure called salvation. So Stephen was stoned, Paul was beheaded, Peter was crucified upside down. Peter made some serious mistakes. He denied the Lord just after he had told the Lord, I'll never deny you. But he preached a great message on the day of Pentecost. You know why? You know why the Bible says these men turned the world upside down? Because they valued the kingdom of God more than they valued anything else.
Right.
Now, I think we need to be maybe convicted by this. Because
right.
We need to think, what do I value the most? Because the other side of the coin is that we may fail to realize that these that I just spoke about will benefit much throughout eternity because they understood the value of the treasure. We just need to listen to Jesus and be reminded that the greatest treasure we possess is the kingdom of God. Or as Matthew said, the kingdom of heaven. When you give towards God's kingdom, when you witness to people who are lost, when you declare the gospel, when you give to missions or the work of the church, when you help someone who has a need for the sake of the gospel, you are making much of what is valuable. You're making much of what is valuable. I'm reminded of the generosity of the Philippian believers, the Philippian church to Paul. And Paul would say something like this, "You have done well. You have met my need." Your generosity is something that God takes notice of. That's why God said, "I will supply all your need." And when we always want God to maybe answer that verse, well, what does that mean, supply all my needs? Does that mean I give everything away? God's going to give. Well, God will take care of that. If you'll just do what you're supposed to be and generous toward the gospel, God has a way to bring it back because He knows what's valuable. To the kingdom of the worldview, it is foolish to value the kingdom of God because the world value system is much different than those who value their salvation. I don't always like to use personal illustrations, but I was reminded, and I wrote this down, that when I was leaving the military to come here to go to Bible college. And so I was able to get out in December of 1985. I had actually came to Springfield in May of 1985 with the anticipation that I would move my family here. And I praise God we'd let the military move us because they'll move you one more time. And so I came here and secured a place to live, a place for us, for my family to live. I was all in. I had, 6 months left in the military? And so as it came closer and closer to me getting out of the military, my discharge and all that, I'll never forget that my boss in the contracting center there where I work called me into the office one day. She was a GS 14 or 15, and she said, I know that you're talking about, you know, leaving and going to college to be a minister. And she said, but you're a good worker. And she said, if you'll get out of the military and wait 30 days, because there had to be a 30-day waiting period, she said, I have a contract that I would like to offer you to be a GS 11/13, which means that I can start you off as a GS 11, and then within the next 3 years, you can go to 12 or 13, blah, 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 stuff like that. And I told her, you know, straight up, well, I was not going to do that, that I'd already, my mind was made up, I was committed, I was going to do this. And all of my colleagues thought I was foolish.
Yep. Yep.
They go, man, think about your career, think about this good-paying job. And, you know, do you have a job where you're going? Nope. And when I came here, I didn't have a job. I didn't have a prospect of a job. I didn't know anybody. And so you go, well, preacher, how'd it turn out? Well, that's 36 years ago. 36 years ago in May, basically May, when I came to Springfield for the very first time. And I can look back now, as I said, because I was kind of reminiscing when I was going through this message and thinking about how grateful I am about the treasure that I have. I think now that I'm very grateful that I followed the Lord's leading, and I was more concerned about the treasure that I had in salvation than the treasure of what the world had to offer. Because I'm pretty sure it would have turned out not anywhere near like it did. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, we all know this verse. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Natural man does not see the valuable treasure that we see, but folks, if you're here tonight, and by the way, if you're here tonight on a Wednesday night, you should have enough spiritual discernment to understand that the most valuable thing you have is your salvation.
Amen.
It's not even your children or grandchildren. And son, I'll flat whoop you for a grandchild. And you know the Bible says I can't be a striker, so I'd have to leave the ministry. And I value my... But, okay, I'm sorry, I apologize. My salvation's more valuable than anything. Kingdom of God truths are hidden from the natural man. That's why Jesus used parables with his disciples so that they could understand the value of spiritual things. And even though people thought I was foolish for leaving that, and by the way, that happened again too when I was getting ready to go pastor in Nobnoster. The devil always can make a shiny object right in front of you before you're going to follow something that God's made very clear. Those who give their life to go to the mission field will many times live their life in a place of obscurity, and there will always be those people that think, why'd they do that? That's waste. But the missionary who goes to the place that God has called him to because he knows the value of his salvation and the service rendered for the kingdom of God is because he values the treasure that he has in salvation, and he wants other people to have the same treasure. So we may live in obscurity somewhere in the middle of nowhere, but we're not obscure if our life is given over to the kingdom of God because we value our treasure. So the application is very simple. What are we willing to make sacrifice for? We make sacrifice things we find value in, right? I sacrificed some of my money to put away for almost 4 years so that I could go to Scotland and play golf for 5 rounds and one of those at St. Andrews, the home of golf. And I say for 4 years. And then COVID hit. You know why I did that? Because I valued that trip. And God said, well, that trip ain't probably going to happen. So now I'm trying to get my money back. And they want 20%. We're in negotiations as we speak. Because COVID ain't my fault. But the point is, and I personally, I don't want to travel. I don't want to travel overseas right now. If you get to do that, that's fine and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just like, let's wait a couple of years. See how things pan out. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we're willing to sacrifice for things we have value. Many times it's to obtain the things of this world rather than the spiritual things and the spiritual truths that really have more value. When's the last time you invested in the life of another person? When's the last time you discipled someone else? When we sacrifice only for the things of this world, you know what I say? We're a double loser. Because we'll lose eventually what we sacrifice for. We'll lose the product we buy, trip to Scotland. Because in the end, it will not satisfy or even compensate us in eternity for that which is the most valuable. Sell out. Buy the field. Because the sacrifice for eternity is no sacrifice at all. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, thank you for the great treasure that we have in salvation. Lord, my heart breaks tonight for those who are not saved. They don't realize. They're blinded by the devil. The devil has blinded their minds to the truth of the most valuable thing, and that's their soul. Their soul means more